Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going. Hi, everybody. This is Marnie, and I welcome you to another edition of Marnie's Friends. We are going to have fun today learning about how to do PR or public relations on a budget. Our guest today is Leah Richards, who hails from Dayton, Ohio, and she has, over the years, come up with some very interesting ways to get the media to notice her business, which is pigofthemonth.com, Pig of the Month Club, and she's here to share with us some great strategies for getting found by the media and what to do once we do get found. So at this time, I'd like to welcome our guest today. Hi, Leah.
Hi, Marnie.
Yeah, great to have you here. And you are down in Dayton, Ohio. And tell us just a little bit about your business.
So Pig of the Month Barbecue, we basically do all natural smoked barbecue meats. We do 6 styles of our own recipe barbecue sauce, and we do a couple different southern favorite kind of side dishes. And then we make everything in-house, and then we send it out fully cooked on dry ice, and we send it all over the country.
Hmm. And do you also have a local place that people can come have this, or this is all shipped out?
It's all mail order. We don't have a restaurant. We do a little wholesaling to stores and stuff, but for the most part, the best place to find our meats and sauces and stuff are on our website at pigofthemonth.com.
Okay, and that's what you do full-time, right?
That is my full-time job.
But you're here today to talk to us about PR on a budget. And so it was really intriguing for me when you pitched this show, and I thought, you know, that is so fascinating. Here she's running this business, a mail order business, pigofthemonth.com, and she's pitching that she wants to talk and train us on public relations. But when I kept reading your bio, I was like, yes, this is the kind of information we need to know. But why are you taking time out of your busy day to train us on public relations on a budget?
Well, when I started my business, I started it kind of right after I graduated from college, and I had no money to start a business. I was really excited, and I had all the passion in the world, but I did not have the budget. So I had to kind of come up with some really creative ways to grow my business on the cheap. So I took a lot of different little detours on the way to really learning how to properly pitch the media and get coverage. So I think it's really important, and I'd love to always help out other small business owners get started on their business and grow theirs as well.
That's great. And listeners, if you haven't already done so, you can get the show notes over at marniesfriends.com. Now, the first thing that you're going to talk to us is about the golden rule of public relations. From your perspective, what is that golden rule?
Well, there's two basic golden rules. One is that pitching media is like a garden. You basically need to think of it as something that you will tend to continuously over the course of many years. Some of your seeds that you pitch with the media won't turn into anything. Some of them will be long, you know, very long-lasting and profitable relationships. You're not sure ever which ones are going to be what, so you need to kind of treat them all the same and continually check in with your journalists that you've reached out to, continually reach out to new ones, build relationships. Don't just ask for things from the media, but continually just check in and show them links maybe to other publications and stuff they might like. You know, just say, hey, I checked out your latest article. That was really great. I shared it with my networks as well. Things like that. You want to really grow a relationship, not just be, you know, needy to them.
Such a good tip. Okay, well, what's the other one?
The other one is that you need to remember that the relationship between you and the media is very symbiotic. You need them just as much as they need you. So without you, they don't have a story. But without them, you don't have a business. So you need to just understand that you can't take up all of their time. You don't want to bog them down with, you know, constant pitches or anything like that. But, you know, it's okay to check in like once a week, once a month, something like that on a regular interval and just say, hey, you know, a quick little something. you just, you know, they like to go home to their families just as much as we all do, and they're just as busy. So you need to kind of just be respectful of their time, and they'll be respectful of yours. And, you know, at that point, you'll have a really good working relationship going.
That's great. And I think that if a listener is tuned in here and they're thinking, well, I don't even understand how to begin or what I would tell them or what I would say to them, we're going to talk about that in just a minute, so don't throw in the towel here. But really, the reality is that media representatives or journalists or whoever are very busy. They're very busy, and they have a lot of emails coming in, a lot of people who are vying for their attention, not just you. And so we have to be sensitive to that and actually provide them with something that they can use instead of just something that we want to say.
For sure.
Yeah. Now, as far as from your perspective, let's go through some of the public relation opportunities that are available to businesses, to individuals.
Well, there are kind of like three different things that you need to have in order to be able to just automatically seize any opportunity at any time that comes your way. The first is you need to be on Twitter. You need to be on, you need to be very present in the social networks. A lot of businesses don't really understand how to use it properly, so they kind of give up after a couple months. I've seen that a lot. But really, you need... And Twitter is the easiest way to contact journalists. Facebook's really good for connecting with fans. Twitter is the best way to find journalists, is what I say. So you kind of need to get on Twitter, get your handle, get your account all set up. You need to go ahead and continue tweeting, you know, tweet things about your business, tweet interesting things. But make sure you go ahead and follow some of the bigger publications. Find the journalists. You can find them through the list or just through search.twitter.com. And just find the different journalists and media publications that you'd like to work with, follow them, and just sort of start building a relationship with them. You can, you know, retweet some of the things they say, reply all. Eventually, you can kind of, you know, post a link on your Twitter status and then that they might think is interesting and then put CC at them. And eventually, you'll kind of see that you're building a relationship. I mean, it's all about building a relationship with the media. So you want to do it gradually, so it's, you know, it's more authentic if you do it gradually. You actually get to know their work, and you'll be much better equipped to pitch them in the future if you slowly build up and understand what types of coverage they usually do and, you know, what types of stories they're looking for right then and there, because they'll usually tweet about it.
That's a great suggestion. Now, for you personally, how many journalists do you try to keep track of?
I have them segmented into a bunch of different lists because you have that really great list function where you can separate them into, you know, magazines, women's magazines, cooking magazines, gourmet, you know, all these different little things, whatever it is that applies to your niche. I probably keep track of almost 300 different journalists, media, bloggers. Bloggers are a big one on there as well.
Interesting. Okay, so... When you do your own Twitter, I'll just dig a little deeper here before we go on. When you do your own Twitter, about how many times a day do you post, and do you have that set up in advance, or do you actually physically post?
No, that's a really good question, and this is a big time saver because I think everyone thinks that Twitter and Facebook are such, so you know, time sucks. What you can do is that there's a I use socialoomph.com. I think it's OOMPH, socialoomph. You basically just link your Twitter account to it, and then you schedule posts ahead of time. So I'll schedule like 5 to 6 posts a day. And then like once a day, I'll go in and reply to whoever's been talking to me, retweet things I found interesting, you know, just talk to a couple different people. So that makes it a lot easier when you only have to do it for 15 minutes a day rather than, you know, check back in every hour or whatever.
Absolutely. That's what I do too. In fact, I wrote a book on that called Sane Social Networking Success in 15 Minutes a Day, and you can get that over at marnie.com. But that is, I use Ping. I like ping.fm for the same reason as Social Oomph there. But what I say is you ping several times and you only pong once. You just hit once a day. You know, because really you can spend... You can really literally spend hours a day doing social networking, but it's not really necessary. Cool. Okay. What
else?
Oh, you can, and then you're not getting anything else done. Okay. What is the second thing you recommend? You said there are three things we have to have before we get going. One of them is a Twitter account, Facebook or LinkedIn, whatever. And then what's another one?
Okay, there are five things. The second one being you need to have a media kit, and your media kit can be really basic, but it needs to be online and easily accessible. And I'm sure everyone's going to ask, well, what is a media kit? What should be in my media kit? You know, these are a lot of the questions that I asked when I first got started. So to make it easy, you basically just need to have four different things. One is your bio. You just need to have a really simple couple paragraphs about you, your company, your background, what led to you creating the site or the company, and where you guys are at now, what you do. Second of all, you need to have your latest press release. And if you don't have a press release, go to prweb.com and just create a really simple one. They have it all set up into a template, so all you have to do is fill in the info, and they'll give you hints and writing guidelines, and they make it so, so, so easy.
And by the way, that's free. And I just heard a training yesterday that said that a press release that has a photo of it, whether it doesn't even matter what kind of photo. It can be it has to match, obviously, something about the article, but it can be a photo of you or your product or your building or whatever. But if it has a photo, it's open. I can't remember what the statistic was. It was outrageous. It was so much more. So just add a little
bit.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Latest press release.
Okay. So third, you want to have some images. That ties into it as well. You want to go ahead and have online high resolution for media publications and low resolution shots of all of your products, your headshot, your logo, simple things like that. So just make it, you're always wanting to make it like really, really easy for them to find everything. If they have to go ahead and email you for all that stuff, you're like making it two steps too hard for them, and they're going to contact somebody that has it already on their website.
Absolutely.
All right. And the last thing you want to have is PR 101, but you need to have your contact information. You need to have your personal email on there, your website, your address, your fax number, basic contact info.
Yeah. The other thing is, with this images thing, you don't want to think about, you know, grabbing the same shot that you put in the family photo album, because what happens is when they're doing it, they may need to, like if you're going to be at a home show or something like that, they need to blow it up to a huge screen. It needs to be something that can handle that. I remember one of the first times that I got picked up by somebody, and they asked me three times. They said, "Do you have a better picture?" And I was like, "Nope, that's the best one I have." And they're like, "Again, could you maybe get us a better picture?" "Nope, sorry, that's the best one I have." And I got there, and I was mortified because the picture was horrible at the size that they were using it at. So just know in advance, they really need that when they're asking you for that. And if you just know in advance they're going to need it, well, then you have time to prepare and actually have a really nice one for them. And in fact, when I put mine on my bio page, Leah, I actually put the resolution right next to it. So even before they open it, they can pick which resolution they have. So, or which resolution.
That's a really good tip.
Yeah, cool.
I also think, I think on our website as well, just a quick tip, because if you have, you know, a product line with, like, maybe 10 different things, you want to kind of show different options, you know, maybe not all from the same angle, maybe not all with the same background, maybe show some in use, some doing this, some doing that, because you want to get, they don't know what they're going to use it for exactly, but you want to give them the option to find the picture that best fits their publication.
And I haven't looked at your media page that I can remember, and do you know, if you're going to have a bunch like that, do you actually put little thumbnails on there so they can, even before they open it, you know, even if you have a text description, sometimes a thumbnail, just a very small version of that big picture can help them, oh, that one looks fun, you know, and then they can just instantly click it instead of opening a whole bunch of
Right. It's so annoying. You have to have those little thumbnails because everyone likes pictures more than they like just reading the words. It's just visually, you know, it jumps out at you and go, okay, that's what I want. Done.
I could tell you, too, that when I am actually looking for a guest in a particular field, I'll use Haro, which if you come in to me, if you respond, that's help a reporter out. And if you respond to me in that venue and your bio looks good, but I go to your website and I can't find your media page. I can't find your contact information. I can't find anything else about you. I'm most likely not going to pick you. Not because you don't have a great bio and you're not the right person. It's because I can't understand how to go forward. You need to make it really easy for somebody in the media to love you. Just make it so easy, like, oh, this person did all my work for me. I love them. I love them.
Right.
And they'll just want to, they'll want to pick you. Okay, we're going to take a short break and come back with more from Leah. We're going to come back and learn more PR opportunities for you. We'll be right back.
Are you a speaker ready for some new connections? Join WomenSpeakers.com, the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, currently enjoying over 25,000 hits a day. WomenSpeakers.com is a place for you to showcase your speaking availability to over 10,000 event planners. WomenSpeakers.com is a first-stop preference for leaders who are planning retreats, conferences, luncheons, brunches, and teas. Join us today over at WomenSpeakers.com, both free and paid listings available.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Marnie. We're visiting today with Leah Richards. She's the founder of Pig of the Month Club, and she is here to share with us some of her great PR and a budget strategic savings for public relations. We've been talking about some of the things that you need to have in place, really, before you contact the media. One of them was a Twitter account, and you need to have a social networking presence. And I mentioned earlier in the show, if you don't know how to go about that, there's a 38-page ebook over at Marnie.com. It's free. Just request the SANE, Social Networking Success, in 15 minutes a day, and you can get started on that right away. And then also, you need a media kit of some type, and that can be online. You don't have to have large, expensive budget to do that. You just need to put it online, and we just went through that. If you missed that, you can catch the archive afterward. Okay, Leah, let's go on with our next required component.
All right. Next on our list, you need to have a press page. That is basically where your media kit should be located. It's the most logical place that anyone would look. In addition to having the media kit, kind of like on pickofthemonth.com, we have basically where we have all of the press we've ever gotten that's, you know, been worthy of putting on the website, and then it's kind of separated into like the different sections, so to make it even easier for people to find, like radio, blogs, you know, magazines, newspapers, that kind of thing. You basically just want to show that, like, you have a really good product, you're a really good company, you're in good standing with a lot of different media publications, so you've come through and done your part. You have a whole bunch of different story angles that you can show. Basically, it's just tying back into making the reporter's job really, really easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the press page, how you do it is you have a press page, and then you have within the press page they can open the media kit. Is that the link to the media kit?
You can download it. We tend to have on the press page, so we'll have just a list of all the places that we've gotten covered. So if it's Yahoo News, then we'll link to it. Underneath that, we'll have the link to our actual downloadable media kit, and then we'll have all of our press releases uploaded onto the site so they're easily downloadable, our company story, and then we also have a document, which I think is a really good idea, not necessary, but a good idea, and that is to have just a list of, like, possible story pitches, like a really good idea of angles for different stories so they have an idea of what they could use your product for.
Yeah. How they can, where it can work for them in their story that they need for this week or whatever. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, very good. And I know for me, mine, I do one-pagers for each of the topics that I'm currently pitching because just like for this training today, Leah provided talk points for us, and then from that we made up our training materials. When you're going even on a very short, like a radio show that's even only going to be 3 minutes long or something like that, if you have the talk points listed out, things that people have found interesting about your story topic and that you're really the expert to answer the questions about, if you provide that, the interviewer may or may not use it, but it's really handy to have that kind of information. So along with the story to come up with some talk points, that's really helpful too. Cool.
Yeah. What do we got next? You want to do a basic pitch. So go ahead. I save it in my Google Docs and also in my Gmail account as a canned response. Just write out a really simple 2 or 3 paragraph, usually 2 with a couple of bullet points, basic pitch. Just a template. It'll save you so much time later on if you have this basic pitch saved, and then when you get an opportunity, you can just customize and personalize it to that specific, you know, media outlet.
Okay, now, and what part of that canned response actually stays the same, and which is the part that you change every time for every pitch?
So always include their first name. You know, don't say, hi, blogger at so-and-so website. That is the worst. They will delete your email immediately. We were working with a PR company when I first got started, and we fired them within 2 weeks because we found out that they were pitching bloggers and stuff saying, hi, blogger, comma, I work for so-and-so company. And we were like, oh, my God, that's horrible. So you want to make sure you never do that.
Right. And you're really, what you're training here from start to finish, you started with relationship, the golden rule. That's what you started with. And that's still what you're saying. If you don't even know their first name, they probably don't want to have a relationship with you either.
I mean, you have to put a little effort into finding out what they would typically write, what their first name is, and, you know, find out what their audience would like and then specifically tailor it to something that's going on in their publication. So, like, the bullet points for the stories probably need to change every single time that you pitch it out.
Now, do you put any kind of intro? Once you're familiar with a let's not say once you're familiar, but let's say once you've already pitched somebody a couple times, they may or may not have read that. Where do you put, hi, I'm Leah, this is about me? Where do you put that in your pitch?
So, well, why don't we just go through kind of what a basic pitch should entail? That might be a little bit easier. What do you think?
We can drop down to that. And guys, if you're on your worksheet, that's just the last part down there. So just drop down to the bottom. We'll just jump right there.
Okay. So basically, it's going to start with a catchy subject line. So you want to make sure that it's something that grabs the eye. You know, saying possible review opportunity or, you know, possible story idea really doesn't really catch the line, and they probably get 50 to 100 emails like that a day. So something more like, you know, we have the 7 greatest ways to lose weight and we can talk about them, or, you know, whatever it is that your company can do, and you can tie it into something that's really interesting and that people actually want to know about, the better chance you have of getting it open the first time.
Yeah.
So after that, we kind of want to just introduce yourself. You know, that's where I would say, hi, so-and-so. I like to start with the pitch initially because it needs to be short. As we said before, everyone's short on time these days, so the quicker you can get it out and catch their attention, the more likely they are to read down. So ask a question. That's usually a really good way to start out. Something like, you know, are you guys in, you know, have you seen the greatest holiday gifts coming up for the 2011 season? And then they're like, oh, you know, maybe I haven't. And then they read on. The whole point of every sentence is to get them to read the next sentence. It's pretty much like copywriting. So I would go with the pitch right after that, and then I would list, so you'd give them whatever your pitch is. And then let's say you'd want to put like 3 or 4 bullet points, just telling them about the benefits of your company, why their readers should be interested, maybe a statistic or two, something to back up your claim is always really good. Just really quick little bullet points. And then just, you know, tell them where they can find information on your press page, link to your social media accounts, just to make it all really, really easy for them to link to the different things and check you out. And then just say you're available for further questions or comments, and give them your phone number as well as your email address again, and then just say, I know you're really busy. If you don't have a chance to look at this week, I'll go ahead and just follow up with you next week and speak to you soon.
Yep. Okay, now, if you are, I'm gonna circle back now, because now we've sent, let's say that for 3 months in a row, we've found great angles for a certain blogger. And for 3 months in a row, we've sent the pitch over, and we haven't heard a word back. So now it's month number four. How are you going to change this up so that it's not the exact same, hi, it's me, and this is what I do, beginning?
Right. Okay. So what I would have done at that point is research them, found them on either LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and I would have done some serious research into seeing what they've been writing about recently. So at that point, you can kind of have a really good idea of what they've been doing, what they're planning on doing, what they're interested in. And I would start it out with a compliment. That, you know, kill them with kindness. It never goes wrong.
That's a good idea. And you said something earlier, too, that's not really exactly a compliment, but it's received as a compliment. I really enjoyed your article about blank, and I reposted it to my social networks or something like that.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good one because they like to see that, oh, you know, this guy's on my team. He's helping me out. Maybe I should help him out.
Yeah.
Okay. I would definitely start there.
Okay, great. Great. Well, let's go ahead back now. Okay, so you have your basic pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And then what is our fifth component?
Actually, you hit upon this earlier. It was always having really recent professionally done pictures. If your headshot is you with a perm from the 80s, you need to switch it up. It's time to get a new picture.
Oh, that's hilarious. Okay, right. Absolutely. And photos, like I just said about the press releases, getting a lot more hits with a photo. Photos are becoming really almost more and more necessary as we go forward. They're important. They're important to have. Okay,
yeah.
Let's go ahead and talk about some of your favorite resources.
Oh, yes. Okay, so the first one is a website. It's called Muckrack. It's muckrack.com. It basically is a great resource in order – it's cut to use Twitter. Okay, so Twitter is sort of overwhelming when you first get started because you don't know who to follow, how to find them. You know, it doesn't really have a really great search tool like Google does, so – Muckrack kind of makes that really, really easy. So what it does is that it's a free website, and it makes it easy to list the different journalists by outlet, like magazine, newspaper, TV show, blog, etc. And then it'll list all the different journalists under that, and you can just directly follow them and see what they've been tweeting from Muckrack. Or you can also do it by the topic that they like to cover. So it'll be listed by like topics like sports, lifestyle, cooking, whatever.
Okay, I want to spend a little time here because I'm looking at this site right now. I'm over at muckrack.com. Okay. Discovering what's happening right now in the world of journalism. So basically this is just a site where they only include the most recent tweets from journalists, correct?
Yes.
Simple definition? Okay. And then how would you actually go about, like, I'm not seeing how I would actually go about sorting something here. So help us understand how to use
it. Let me pop on over there real quick.
And you guys can either, track with us right now during the show, or else you can just kind of remember, and you can always listen back to the archive.
Okay. So on the nav bar, you'll see there's a thing called either sources or beats. The sources is where you will be able to find them. Let's go. It'll find the different ones from all the different sources. So on the left-hand news bar, you'll see all the different, you know, Chicago Tribune, Forbes, Fox News, MSNBC. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that's how you can find all the different journalists that are tweeting for those specific companies. And then if you go to Beats, you'll see all the different topics. So let me get over
there. So I just went to Chicago Tribune right now. I went to Chicago
mm-hmm.
Tribune, and it shows me tweets from 2 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, 44 minutes ago, about an hour, goes on like that. And these are different journalists. But it doesn't really tell me what their beat is at the Chicago Tribune. So then the next step would be to click on their actual, their handle, right, and go look
right.
at their page. And on the right bar at Twitter then, it would show you the description of what that person does, usually, in their bio.
Well, even if you just click on their actual link on their Muckrack, it'll take you to their basic, it'll be like their Twitter page, but it's on the actual Muckrack site, and you'll see in their description, like, I clicked on Julie Johnson at the Chicago Tribune, and she's journalist, vagabond, foodie. Okay, well, I want to follow you, so then you can just follow them right there.
Okay, there we go. Okay, so, yes. And it's like a little, okay, so at the top it shows that Julie Johnson, this reporter from the Chicago Tribune that we're looking at, has 1,300 or 1,100 followers. She's tweeted about 1,000 times. And then you can actually even link straight from here to her articles that she's written.
Right.
And then
you can also do a mass follow.
Right, I see that. You can do a mass follow. So let's go ahead and do that. For the Chicago Tribune, you could actually select. They only have, looks to me like they only have, well, she's not even, no, they have a long list. There it is. On the right bar, you have a scroller. So you can scroll up and down. And you can just go through that list and just pick out of there which ones you want to check mark. If you want to follow them all, you can. But do you know, I think that there isn't a ratio of how many you can follow compared to, is there still something like that? I mean, should you follow just every last person? I don't know how helpful that would be.
I think it doesn't matter. Like, to me, it's like, who cares? I mean, the more journalists I'm in contact with, the more they might see your tweets and pass it along to somebody that they know that would cover it. So,
okay. Now, let's say that we liked Julie and we also like Monica Eng. She's a food writer, and we want to follow those two. And we actually want to put them into a list. Can you do that here, or do you need to go back over to Twitter to do that?
Okay. Well, let's go ahead. I can't. Dang, I've been locked out of my Twitter account all week. I got hacked.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I wish I could show you guys. Really easy way to do that. You would press follow on the muckrack.com. It will take you over to Twitter. And then
I'm going to just do it right now. I'm going to follow Monica.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And this is going to open up my Twitter account just so that we can walk you through this one time. I know a lot of the times, these things aren't hard, but if you never have somebody to just walk you through it, it's like you don't have time to figure it all out. Okay, so we're going to walk. I'm going to authorize this app so that you have to say, yes, we're going to do this. We'll authorize that. And I want to select the one user, yes. Now I'm following Monica Eng. Okay, and it didn't take me to Twitter. It just did it. So I'm going to open up my Twitter account real quick here. And if you're looking for me, I'm Mentor Marnie over at Twitter. And what's your Twitter handle? I know we can't do much about it today, Leah, but what's your Twitter handle?
It's iHeartBarbecue, all spelled out.
iHeartBarbecue, cute. Okay, now we are over at Twitter, and I have added Monica Eng. Okay, so how do I make a list now and add Monica to my list?
So what I would do is go to your following list, just click on it, and since those are the most recently followed, they'll be at the very top.
Okay.
I would just go ahead, and I know it's much easier to do when you're actually looking at it.
So what you do then is right next to the little one that says now, Monica Eng, of course, because I've followed her, it says following, and then exactly next to that is a little person icon. If you click on that, it says add to list. And it will either let you add to an existing list or you can create a list right then. Okay, so that's how easy that is. But you can't do it at this Muckrack. You have to go over to your actual Twitter account to do that. Cool. Okay, well, this is very great. I didn't see this site ever before you're mentioning it to me. So I'm excited to learn about that. And you guys, that'll come in real handy for us. We're going to take a short break and come right back and talk about some other favorite resources and how you can get some PR on the cheap. Okay, we'll be right back.
Is it ever your turn to come up with fresh ideas for parties, events, or retreats? Check out the fully developed theme sets at ideasforwomensministry.com. That's ideasforwomensministry.com. Ideas, publicity templates, and more. ideasforwomensministry.com. Are you registered to receive the Marnie Minute? Have you sometimes missed out on training or connection opportunities because you didn't know about them in advance? Visit Marnie.com and select free updates to receive email notifications so you will never miss a beat. That's free updates over at Marnie.com.
Hey guys, welcome back. This is Marnie. We are visiting today with our guest expert, Leah Richards, on the subject of PR on a budget, strategic savings for your public relations. And Leah's website is pigofthemonth.com. She's had placements in the New York Times, Food and Wine Magazine, Food Network Magazine, Thrillist, and Good Morning America, among others. She knows what she's talking about, and she's here with us sharing some great strategies. If you're just joining us now, you'll want to listen back to the beginning of the archive, and also you can download the notes that she's provided for us over at marniesfriends.com. Leah, so glad that you could be here today. Appreciating your input here. This is fun. Okay, let's
Thank
go
you.
Ahead. Earlier in the show, we talked a little bit about HARO, but we want to go there again. It's very important, isn't it?
Oh, it's the best resource that's out there on the web for PR right now.
Yeah, I use it to find guests all the time myself. I've also gotten publicity by using it. You can go to helpareporterout.com. They have a free, the listing is free for you there. So you can just
go
ahead
and
register.
Yeah, that's how I found you, actually, isn't it?
I think so. I think that's how we connected. I was looking for some PR experts, and you responded. And actually, it's funny because you didn't really fit the description that I had in my head when I put the when I put the pitch out there. But I was so intrigued. I was so intrigued because you're actually like the rest of us. You aren't a PR person. You're a person who's running a business who has to do PR as part of your multiple things that you're doing. And that's what really intrigued me about your pitch, is that you are finding ways to get your name out there. And just by being here, and listeners, just look at the brilliance of this plan. by having Leah be here on the show, she's getting to meet all of you. You're getting to meet her, and hopefully down the road sometime if you need a specialty meat shipped somewhere for a gift or whatever, you'll think of her because you already know her now. You've spent an hour with her. She's your friend. So I hope you'll do that. But help a reporter out. How has that worked exactly for you?
So it basically, and I think this is the best website ever, I use it every day. It kind of plays matchmaker to reporters and the sources that they'd like to use. So what happens is that reporters will create an account with the site, and they'll log in, and they'll post whatever their query is. So if they're looking for, like you were, like that one day where you needed PR sources for your radio show. Mm-hmm. So you posted that, a quick little summary, and then HARO takes over. So when you sign up as a source, you get an email, and you can control how many you get, but I get them 3 times a day, morning, afternoon, and evening, and it'll just kind of list, and it'll be separated by category, all the different queries that have been submitted that day. And all you'll do is click on them, and there's an email, like a HARO email that's specific to that query, and you just reply and pitch back to that.
Right. And I want to just, from this side of the table, I just want to tell you that when I do this, I do not have these come into my regular email bin, because when I pitch for an expert, I get anywhere from, like, if it's a really tough topic, I may only get a couple dozen, but I can get up to hundreds.
If I pitch
for a topic that everybody loves, you can get hundreds of replies. And so you can't possibly go through them all. You even to just look at them once, you don't have time to go through them all. And when you start into them, I'm just going to tell you, because also we have time limits. As you know, we have this thing that we need to put together. We have a time limit. I'm going to pick the first one that matches my criteria and does it in a way that is quickly identifiable for me. And I love your training that you just gave people, which is have a catchy subject line, ask a question, make a very short pitch, no more than 2 paragraphs, a couple bullet points down why you're the best person or this is the best match for the query, and then your contact information. Do not write an epistle. We don't
know what else. I bet you get these every now and then, too, depending on the different pitch. But some people just use it as a blatant sales letter to pitch their product.
All right. It won't help you. It won't help you. It will hurt you. Don't do that. Right.
Yeah, because they won't ever cover you after that.
And a lot of people spend the entire first few seconds, which is really, you get a cursory look is what you get. You get almost, imagine that I'm glancing. You know, imagine that I have a stack of papers on my counter, and it's my job to look at every single one, but I have to leave in 15 minutes. Imagine that, okay? Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to scan. I'm going to just scan as fast as I can until I find one that just grabs my attention. It's not going to be the one that's got text going on forever. It's going to have a few things that I want to see and then a couple bullet points that nail it. And you know, one lesson that we can learn, my husband was a human resource manager for years and years, and one of the things that he always liked is he liked when someone would actually use the exact words that he used in the ad for the employee, when they would use those words in the pitch, that made him feel good, that they were a perfect match. Look at, they think the way I do.
That's a really good tip. I'm going to use that.
It's a really good tip. It's a really good tip, and it's very easy to do. One thing you want to know is that help a reporter out. Like, his Twitter page now has 44,000 followers. Okay, this is huge. This is absolutely huge. And you can't, one of the things that I listened to an audio training by Harold a while back here, and he said, don't like reply to yesterday's ads, pitches, because the reality is, like for me, if I got 100 yesterday and you throw me one today, you're at the bottom of the barrel. You know, you really need to,
you're
watch
deleted.
It. Yeah, I know, sorry, love you, but I just don't have time for all of you. So, and take it personally. If you don't hear back from a reporter, don't think, oh, they hated my stuff. Believe me, they probably didn't even get to look at it. So don't take that personally, and don't have thin skin. You know, just know, okay. And I loved what you said earlier, too, when I asked you, Leah, what you did if you had been pitching somebody, a blogger, for 3 months in a row, what are you going to do different on the fourth time? And basically, you said, I'm going to go research it a little bit better, because if they aren't seeing me, then maybe I could do something different to be seen. And that's just brilliant. That's just wise. Okay, any other tips that you can think of about Harrow?
Okay. Well, and there's actually an interesting other part I wanted to mention about Harrow, is that a lot of people don't get the gift bag requests, but if you have a product or, you know, something where you can use like a coupon code or like a little postcard or something for your website, those are a really great way to get good coverage as well.
Okay, explain that one to me, because that's not something I'm familiar with.
Oh, okay. So when you go to your account settings, you can also choose to get on Wednesdays and Fridays a gift bag request, Harrow as well. So twice a week, they'll send out the same query email, but it'll be from different events and, like, you know, for, like, book launch parties, PR parties. You know, all these different PR firms and stuff are putting on these big events for different things, and they're always looking for things to fill the gift bags with. So it's a really good way if you have sample-sized products or, like, you know, and some of these are going out to, like, major celebrities. Like, I saw one the other week for, like, the Country Music Awards or whatever. I mean, that could really boost your business quite a bit if that got in that swag bag. So that's a really good one to also be getting twice a week.
Very interesting. I didn't even know. And that's also through Harrow.
Yeah, same service.
Oh, super. Okay, well, I didn't even know about that. Well, I'll go check that out. Very good. Okay, the next one we're going to talk about is PR Web. And again, very good service.
There's a whole bunch of these different press release websites, but PR Web's kind of my favorite. There's always, if you search, like, PR Web, yeah, coupon. If you search PR Web coupon code online, you can usually find some sort of discount that you can use. So it's never like you're paying the full price all the time. It's only $80 a release anyways, but anyways, it's just super easy because everything is completely planned out for you. You just go and enter your information. They have a section for the title, the summary, then the body. They have the place where you add your links and your pictures to add to the open rate. And then you just submit it, and you, like, you know, they make it so easy for you to pick, like, distribution cities, industries, SEO keywords, stuff like that.
Okay, and this is not the one I was. This is not the one I was thinking of. This looks cool, but this isn't the one I was thinking of. So I'm looking for, I'm looking for the name of mine, which I've. I don't know. I'm trying to find it right now because I typed in PR News and that's not it either. But it's almost like this. PR. What in the world? I use it all the time. I'm gonna have to look for that here in a few seconds. But okay, PR Web. This one. So this one with this one, you do have a fee that you pay. And then does it give you, like, analytics, who's looking at it, who's downloading it, and things like that with that?
Yeah. And it's really nice because you can also add, like, a video component to it for no extra charge. And sometimes it's really good to kind of not only schedule a press release to get press, but also to use them to boost up your SEO efforts to get some real good content-based keywords.
That's actually one of the most effective things to do with a press release is to make sure that that you've got your keywords figured out so that you can get some good coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's amazing how those bubble up to the surface at Google too. If you have a keyword that's not in high demand, you can really all of a sudden be on the front page with a press release.
Yeah, for sure. And it's a really great way to kind of get to the front page of some of your more niche keywords, like, overnight.
Yeah, for sure. Really cool. Okay.
I'm interested in hearing what yours is, though.
I know, and I cannot believe I haven't done, I actually haven't done a press release for quite a while. We've been focusing on redoing the whole website over at Marnie.com, and so I've just had my head in the sand trying to do that. Here we go. PRlog.org.
Okay.
.org. I love this organization. It's free. You can pay, but you get very good coverage over here for free. And then if you ever want somebody to help you, and this was highly effective for me when I was learning how to do press releases, to hire Dan Janel, and are you familiar with him? He is like the number one. He's at Janel.com, Janal.com. Awesome, awesome guy. And
check him out.
I think he runs PR Leads. Let's see. Is that the one you just recommended?
Okay.
PRleads.com? No, you had
no,
PR
Web. They're also
PR
quite
Web.
The name.
Yeah, and PRleads.com is the one that Dan runs, and it's an expensive proposition to have them. Well, not really expensive. It's not like hiring a marketing firm or anything like that, but it's $700 to have them help you. But the thing is that they have basically guaranteed coverage because they won't, number one, they won't put it out unless they feel it's newsworthy, and number two, they'll help you write it in such a way that it will get picked up by lots and lots of news organizations. So Dan is a great guy. He's helped thousands and thousands of businesses and individuals get really great coverage, and he's very reasonable for what he does. Okay, so he's over at PRleads.com or Janel.com. All right, we are going to take one more break, and then we're going to come back and finish up with the other resources that will be helpful to you. We will be right back.
It has been my great joy to interview experts on all sorts of topics. The segments with branding gurus Linda Lopeck and Karen Saunders provided over $1,000 worth of training. The segment with literary agent David Sanford, again, worth over $500 by itself. The email management training with Marcia Egan was a huge hit. If you're already a member, then you're all set. But if not, check it out at leadershipattitudes.com. Leadershipattitudes.com.
Hi, this is Marnie. Welcome back. We're just on the last leg of our training today on public relations on a budget. Our guest is Leah Richards. She is the founder of pigofthemonth.com. It was founded in 2010 as a bootstrapped venture, and she quickly learned how to leverage her marketing and PR savvy to grow her business on the cheap. And so grateful that you could be with us here today. Leah, if you guys are just joining us, you want to get the archive and catch the notes over at marniesfriends.com. Okay, our next favorite resource is MediaSync, and I tried to pull that up as a website, and that didn't work. Do you know what the actual URL of that one is?
Let me go ahead and get that really quick for you. Media Sync. It is Media spelled out SYNConline.com. MediaSyncOnline.com.
MediaSyncOnline.com. Okay, let's go ahead and take us through a little introduction of what this particular resource does for you.
So it's basically a free database. I think it's still in beta testing, but it's working perfectly for me. It has all sorts of journalists from small local papers to major national magazines and bloggers and journalists. And you can kind of just sift through it and search with different parameters when you need to pitch very specific types of stories or tie it into holidays or promotions or, you know, men's specific only kind of thing. I like to think of it as a free version of the databases that actual publicists pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to use every year. So it's like a free version of Cision or any of those different types of databases.
Okay, and how do media contacts actually get into here? Someone works at putting them in, or do they do it themselves, the media people?
I am not for sure, but I believe that somebody is working behind the scenes to put those all together and put them in there.
Okay, so I'm looking at this right now. If you're not at your computer right now, there's over 2 million media contacts listed here and over 40 million articles and blogs. And I love how simple it is. I can tell they're doing a good job because you come here and it doesn't look like there's much here. But I always say the more simple it looks on the front, probably the more, you know, you think about Google. Go to Google and it's very simple, but underneath there's all kinds of stuff there. Okay, great. Well, this is very interesting. So give us an example of a way that you have used this particular site recently. MediaSync.
Yeah, sure. Actually, I was pitching because we have this big promotion coming out for the No Turkey Thanksgiving. We're saying pork all the way. So in order to do that, I needed to find we wanted to basically make it kind of a grassroots effort using like PageRank 4 or 5 blogs only. So we didn't want to contact any major media. So I went ahead and I went in. You can kind of make the search parameters very specific. So you can say only magazines, only blogs. You can also say like how many, it might be easier if I'm actually on the site doing this. But there is ways where you can target specific page ranks or the number of followers they have at their blog, things like that. So you're not getting every single blog out there and trying to send them a sample or something like that.
Right.
So we created like a sort of very curated list of 25 to 30 blogs, sent out like a really good pitch to them. We personalized each one because it has their contact info on MediaSync. Yeah, and then, you know, we got a really good response of like 10 to 15 bloggers that we worked with to create like a really good promotion that we've got going.
Cool. And you basically use the same type of pitch that you've been talking to us about today.
Yeah, exactly. It's the exact same format.
Exact same format. Cool. Okay, well, we only have a few minutes left, so we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about editorial calendars. I love this angle as well. And, in fact, I've written 12 books and e-books now, and whenever I'm getting ready to select a date for release, this is how I choose when I'm going to release my book, is using editorial calendars. So talk to us about how you use them, what they are, and how you use them.
So editorial calendars are something that the magazines will put out that will say what their upcoming issues are going to be about. They're usually released up to about a year ahead of time. So it'll also tell you some important dates, which are when the advertising rates are closing. So that'll kind of show you when your last date to be pitching these journalists to get that story in for the upcoming issue. And that's really good to know because in order to get into some of the holiday guides for this that are coming out this month and next month, you needed to have been pitching them like in June and July. And a lot of people don't know that.
Right.
So what you're going to do is at the bottom of almost every website or somewhere on their website, they'll have a little link that says editorial calendar. And then you'll click that and it'll show you month by month what each issue is focusing on. Like, you know, one, April might be a green issue, or there might be a do-it-yourself Martha Stewart issue coming up in March. So you know, hey, this is what I need to pitch to them at that point.
Now, I want to go back because you mentioned looking at the advertising calendar. Have you found that that mirrors pretty closely the editorial calendar?
Very closely.
Okay.
Yeah. It's usually within a week or two. So with your advertising, because by the time they need to have their artwork in is when the journalists will also need to have their stories in.
Okay. Okay. And do you find that it actually gives you a shoe up a little bit, a step up against the competition to have it in a little earlier than, like, cutting
Definitely.
It right to the wire? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to work on, like, 24 hours online, you know.
I know.
Give them a couple weeks just to hang out with your story and really do a good job.
We were just doing a front page with a newspaper here this last week, and it was right down to the wire, and it's so stressful when that, you know, and they're really, media people are used to being under the gun all the time. But when they can have something in advance, when you pitch them a great idea, and it's like, sweet, I've got that one done. And then they can focus on the other things that are harder for them. And it just, it is so endearing.
you're like a lifesaver to them. They're
like,
that's
the one place in my life I can relax right now is with so-and-so. You know, and especially if you can build a relationship with them where they know that I can always count on them to have their stuff in early or, you know, not to leave.
Yeah, they're reliable.
They're reliable, right. They're right on track with what I need instead of just waiting till the end. Oh, my goodness. Well, you, my dear, taking us all the way around the world here. And so grateful, Leah, for your time today. And this will be going into what we have is we have different training modules over at Marnie.com that the mentees can get at later. And everybody who's listening today, of course, you get it free if you listen in at the time. But then afterwards, it goes into the mentorship archives. And this will be going into the public relations training over there. And this has been just a fantastic program. So thank you for your help here with us today and for all of your great input.
No problem. It was so much fun talking with you guys. And if anyone has any questions, you can find me on Twitter at iHeartBarbecue. Hopefully it'll be back up soon. And you can always ask me questions, and I'm always available to help you guys out.
Oh, that's great. And you can always find her over at her website, too, pigofthemonth.com. And if you're going with a turkey-less Thanksgiving, think of Leah. Otherwise, I'm sure Christmas must be your biggest time.
Christmas and Super Bowl, yep.
Yeah. Oh, Super Bowl. Oh, fun. Yeah. So, like, over at pickofthemonth.com. So, if somebody's gonna have a family sized main course, then ship to them. What kind of price ranges are you talking about with that? Now, this is okay.
Like
and this is 2011.
For a family of four, which basically like two slabs of ribs will feed a family of four pretty comfortably with some side dishes, that's like $55. So it's not too horrible.
And that's including the shipping or that's separate? Shipping
is about another like $8 to $10. So it's not
sure.
too extravagant. Yeah.
So that's fun. So for under $100, you could send a really fun super treat to somebody for Christmas or whatever. For even $75,
for sure.
Really.
The men
yeah.
in your life will love you forever.
Well, that's great. Well, so grateful that you've been here today. Thanks, y'all, you listeners, for being here, and we'll see you again next week. I think we're the next one that we're doing right now in the chronology is Mission and Vision Training, and that's going to be super fun. So we'll see you next time. Thank you, Leah. Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.